Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
It's Monday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. One of the things that we try to do at Mormonism Research Ministry is to hopefully educate the body of Christ using apologetics to do that. And one thing that I have found in my Christian walk, that apologetics certainly does strengthen your faith. When you hear objections to the Christian faith and you study it out and you find out that Christianity really has an answer to that, a plausible answer, it certainly helps you in your walk with Christ and knowing that what you believe is actually true. And one of the things that we just did recently, we just got back from a trip to Israel. Many of you knew that and were praying for us, and we thank you for that. But we had a group that went with us, and they were very encouraged by the things that we saw. One of the things that we do when we go to the Holy Land is we normally don't stick to all the same attractions that many people naturally have to see. Of course, you have to go to Bethlehem, you have to go to Jerusalem and such, but we actually go into other places that are probably not so well known, but I found to be absolutely fascinating. Now, Eric, before the show started, we wrote down the five places that we enjoyed the most on this last trip. And so we were going to talk about some of those things.
And we did that separately, and we did combine on two of them, but three unique ones for each of us.
Let's talk about the two that we combined on.
Mm-hmm. The first one would be Beersheba. They had a lot of rain and even snow in Jerusalem, where the road was washed out. So we ended up having to go the long route around. And we were driving through, and you and I noticed on the map that not far away was this place called Beersheba.
I knew when they made us go around the long way, I knew we were going to go right past it, because you have to go on that highway that goes past Arad, and there's a dig there. I knew Beersheba was right near there, and I'm smiling. So we ended up talking the guide into pulling off and taking us over there.
It was about 10 minutes away from where we were at the intersection, and when we got there, nobody was there, because you have to understand there's been a lot of rain in that area, and in fact, there was in the Wadi a running river that was bigger than the Jordan River. But when we got there, we got treated to being able to see Abraham's Well.
Abraham's Well. Now, I'm sure that they've reconstructed probably a lot of it, especially on the top, but that is the hole. That is the well that Abraham dug, and that is the well that he got into the little squabble with Abimelech over. And so if you don't know that story, I'd encourage you to read that in the book of Genesis, but that was one place that I found was fascinating. And another one that we agreed on
was Hezekiah's Tunnel, and that's one that I have gone on every trip, every single trip, going through 1,700 feet of a tunnel that was dug by Hezekiah's men, and they started outside the city and inside the city, and they dug separately, and they met in the middle. And so today, you can actually go and walk through the chisel marks. You can feel with your hands the water going up to averaging about your knees, but as high as your thighs in the very beginning. But we had a few other people in our group who decided to brave that because the water's cold. What a fascinating time that always is.
And of course, that was dug during the time when Sennacherib of Assyria was invading Israel and taking over a lot of Judean towns. And so Hezekiah built this tunnel to make sure that there was a water supply that was going into the city.
And it went from the Gihon spring into the city, and Sennacherib's men were never able to find the water source.
And Jerusalem was the one Judean town that he wanted badly that he did not get.
He got all the others.
He got all the other ones, but he did not get Jerusalem.
One of my favorites that I listed here would be Lachish, where they actually built a siege ramp there. The Assyrians destroyed this town along with the others. I found that to be fascinating because I had never been to Lachish.
And you can still see the remains of that siege ramp. It's still there. It's all broken down now, but you could see where it was. And standing at the top of that tell looking down, that was quite a ramp. Not quite as large as Masada and what the Romans built, but it was pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
another one that I really liked was in that same area, was the Valley of Elah. Now, we didn't go into the valley proper, but we saw the valley from Tel Azekah. Now, why is that important? If you read the account in Samuel, it talks about how Saul was camped on a hill between Azekah and Soko. The Philistines were on the Mount Soko, and it was David and Goliath who met in between those two hills in the Valley of Elah. And you could see exactly right where they were from Azekah, where we were standing. I found that to be just fascinating.
It was a very interesting sight. Another one that I enjoyed would be Jacob's Well, the second time that we had a chance to visit there. Now, a lot of people don't go to these sites in the West Bank, and it can look precarious for some, but you just have to understand it's very safe. The guides don't take you there unless it is. There's a church there that they always build over any kind of sacred site, and this church is built over a site that is very well known as being Jacob's Well. There's no doubt about that with the archaeologists. And so we had a chance to taste the water from Jacob's Well. And unlike the last time we went, Bill, we had a chance to take pictures there.
That's right. Previous
guard there would not allow us to take pictures. And this guy said, go ahead and take as many as you want. So we had a group picture taken there. It's just, I mean, when you think about Jacob being at this well and then having Jesus there in John chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman, and it's a very powerful passage. When you read John chapter 4, drinking that water is very special.
Because she talks about Mount Gerizim, where the Samaritans had a temple, and of course that was the whole gist of the conversation. Jesus was talking to her about that, and Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal is there. This is all mentioned in the Old Testament. Shechem is not far away from there, ancient Shechem.
And we got to go to these places. We got to go to Mount Gerizim and Shechem, and I mean, just amazing to read in your Bible these names and then to actually go there.
Another one that really impressed me was we went back to Ai. And of course, that's where Achan met his demise from taking some of the goods from Jericho. And they weren't supposed to do that, and he did. But it talks about Ai being east of Bethel. And we saw the actual place where William F. Albright, who was an archaeologist, dug at Bethel many years ago. And of course, back then when they did these digs, they had to fill them in when they were done. So you don't see anything that they dug up, but we knew where it was. And then we went over to a crusader tower, the remains of a crusader tower that was built right near the ruins of an old Byzantine church. And we know that in the Byzantine era, which is around 324 to around 650, the Byzantines would build churches over sacred spots. And this wasn't long after a lot of these things took place sometimes, especially New Testament sites. But the Byzantines built this church where they believe that Abraham built an altar that was between Bethel and Ai. It was east of Bethel, west of Ai, and that's exactly where this place is located. It was fascinating to me to see how the geography all fits the Old Testament. Just as it's laid out in the Old Testament, that's the way it is.
And we ought to point out that former Utah pastor Joel Kramer was the one who guided us for three of the days, and many of the ones that we're pointing out here are the ones that he took us to.
Joel was incredible. Of course, he's studying at Hebrew University to get his doctorate in archaeology, and he knows the stories. He knows the layout of the land. He is just incredible. He's the perfect guy to do this. But Joel just made these places come alive. And you almost feel sorry for Mormons, because if a Mormon goes on a Book of Mormon tour to the Book of Mormon lands, they don't even know if they're even in the right area. If you go to book a Book of Mormon lands tour, you could be going to New York, or you could be going to Central America, depending on the view of the travel agent. So they don't even know if they're looking at the actual spots that they've paid to go see. Not so when it comes to the Bible. There are so many places that have been dug up, and they have confirmed that these are, in fact, the places that are mentioned in the Bible.
As you always say, Bill, these are real places dealing with real people and real events. My final one would be the Sea of Galilee. I always enjoy being at the same sea or lake, it really is, that Jesus was at and his disciples, and being able to take a boat ride there and swimming in the Sea of Galilee is always a favorite activity of mine.
Yeah, you always have to go out and touch that buoy.
There's
out
a buoy that must be about an eighth of a mile out there.
Well, some of the places that we saw around Galilee, like Chorazin, yeah. Capernaum, and places like that, just fascinating, just like the Bible says. We're going to be doing something else coming up here that we hope will encourage people and educate people and have a little bit of fun at the same time. What's that going to be?
Well, next April, we're going to be going on a cruise based out of Florida. We're calling it the Apologetics Cruise. And this is going to involve not only you and I, Bill, but CARM, Matt Slick.
That's the Christian Apologetic Research Ministry.
And he's going to be coming with his wife, as well as Keith and Becky Walker from Evidence Ministries. Everybody has their own specialty. We're going to be dealing with a variety of topics such as evidence for God, the reliability of the Bible, archaeology, evangelism techniques. And we'll have some things on Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, and Islam. But I want people to know this is not going to be just on Mormonism. There will be a little bit of Mormonism, but more too.
Exactly. There's going to be some on Mormonism, but not that much. But we are going to be talking about even some social issues too.
Yeah, and so we'll have some different breakout sessions and panel discussions. But this is going to be going from April 10th in 2016 for 7 days. We're going to be stopping off in Haiti, Jamaica, Grand Cayman, and Mexico. And in Mexico, we're going to go visit a Mayan temple, and you're going to be talking about the issue of the Book of Mormon lands that you were just talking about.
I am. I'm going to be talking about the discrepancy within Mormonism as to where the Book of Mormon lands are even located. So I'll be talking about that. And then we're going to go visit some of the Mayan ruins that are in that area.
Listen, if you're interested in possibly going with us, we've already filled out about a third of the spots. We started introducing this in February, and we wanted to give everybody here a chance to be able to go on this. You can go on our website, mrm.org, and on the front page, you're going to see a ship. Click on that icon, and it will take you to all the information. But prices are about $500, starting at around $500 per person, and there's also a conference fee that you would have to pay. But if this sounds like it would be interesting for you, you ought to look into it. And just so you know, there are no donated ministry funds that are going to be used to sponsor this cruise. All the expenses for us as speakers are going to be paid through the registration fees. So I don't want anybody to feel nervous that they're giving money so we can go on a cruise. This is all going to be paid out of that.
Again, it's just a way to build you up in your faith, to help you to share your faith, and have a little bit of fun at the same time. Hope you can join us.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Christian apologetics is all about having answers for everyone who asks us for the reason for the hope that we have in Christ. With that in mind, on Tuesday, March 24th, beginning at 6:30 p.m., you'll have the chance to hear two nationwide speakers present An Evening of Owning Your Own Faith. Dr. Sean McDowell, a teacher and professor in Southern California, as well as a prolific author, will deal with the topic of atheism. And Jim Wallace, who's been featured a number of times on network television because of his success as a cold case police detective in Los Angeles. He'll provide reasons why he left atheism when he finally understood just how reliable the Bible really is. These two apologists will give their presentations on March 24th at Calvary Chapel in Salt Lake City, located at 460 West Central Drive. Bring your junior high and up children. And the best news? The event is free. Contact the church for more information or driving instructions. We hope you'll take advantage of this excellent opportunity and own your own faith.